This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Genesis Juice, producing organic fruit and vegetable juices preserved in glass, including ginger lemonade, apple ginger, herbal fruit tonics, and more. Information and where to buy at genesisjuicecorp.com. Here comes the KBOO Evening News.
With our allies in the fight for affordable health care.
I'm Andy Seaton, KBOO News.
For KBOO in Portland, I'm Julie Sabatier.
KBOO's Afifa Ahmed Shafi reports.
I'm Stephanie Potter, KBOO News.
KBOO's Eduardo Delanderos Tiede has more.
I'm Annalisa Hummel.
And I'm Liam Delta.
This is Maddie Bowden.
I'm Alex Collins, KBOO News.
I'm Michael Newman, KBOO News.
I'm Courtney Dillard, KBOO News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, an electrical fire last evening engulfed the Alberta Street Co-op. Fortunately, they reopened today.
New Jersey's Supreme Court has ruling that homosexuals are entitled to the same marriage rights as heterosexuals.
U.S. military officials have announced Taliban attacks have tripled since the signing of a truce with Pakistan's president.
And in the human cost of occupation in Iraq. As of today, there have been 2,804 officially acknowledged deaths of American soldiers. IraqBodyCount.org reports as many as 49,610 civilians have been reported killed by military intervention in Iraq. A new report released by The Lancet puts the number at more than 600,000 civilians dead.
Good evening. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 25th, 2006. 13 days until the 2006 midterm election. Though if you live in Oregon, it's not too early to send in your mail-in ballots. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Afifa Ahmed Shafi. Four fire engine companies responded to an electrical fire at the Alberta Co-op late last night. The store and apartments above the store were evacuated. Firefighters chopped through some of the siding and sheathing of the northeast side of the building, doused the fire with water, then ripped off more siding and sheathing to vent the smoke. Several firefighters climbed to the roof with a chainsaw to vent more smoke and heat through the roof. The co-op reports they are fully insured and were able to reopen about noon today after major electrical work early this morning. The bulk department will be closed off until a 3x8 hole in the wall is repaired. The co-op expressed thanks to members and the community for a tremendous show of support.
In Salem, Frank Boussard is selling his new strip club before it even opens its doors. Boussard planned to open the club with heavy opposition from nearby residents and business owners, as well as the Salem City Council. That's because the club would have been near parks, churches, bus stops, and businesses that cater to children. The local neighborhood association's chair, Julia Allison, says, quote, "We have won round one." Earlier this month, Boussard got his liquor license approved, even though the city council had sent an unfavorable recommendation. Boussard offered no comment as to why he is selling.
Homeland Security officials say a computer storage device that held personal information on current and former employees at the Portland airport has disappeared. A federal security director say they're relatively confident that it, quote, got scraped into the trash and it's gone. Federal officials have already spent days trying to determine what was on the drive and where it's gone. The device, called a thumb drive, turned up missing October 16th at the Transportation Security Administration's Command Center at Portland International Airport. The agency has about 500 employees statewide who oversee airport security checkpoints. When the device was last backed up a month ago, it contained the names, social security numbers, addresses, and telephone numbers of the current workers and roughly 400 former ones in Oregon.
Dirty tricks have marred the race for mayor in the small southern Oregon town of Oakland amid swirling complaints of illegal campaigning. Someone using a false return address mass-mailed city voters a flyer recently that falsely states the number of candidates for mayor in the city of 940 people. The computer printer page proclaims, quote, "There are only two choices for mayor, Nancy Staples or Wayne Harger. Choose one. There are no other choices." But former Oakland Mayor Freda Smith and current Oakland City Council Jackie McCarty are also on the ballot for the unpaid position. Staples, a potential beneficiary of the false claim, wrote County Clerk Barbara Nielsen denying involvement. Harger could not be reached for comment.
Warnings about global warming have arrived in Oregon with former Vice President Al Gore. Last night, Gore sounded what has become a familiar alarm about rising sea levels, shrinking glaciers, and dwindling wildlife habitat. Gore drew a near-capacity crowd to the 5,000-seat Theater of the Clouds at the Rose Garden. He He got a standing ovation. He opened his remarks with humor, calling himself a recovering politician. Gore is scheduled to attend a fundraiser today for Governor Kulongoski. Meanwhile, yesterday in Silver Spring, Maryland, two protesters were arrested after occupying a ledge above the front entrance to the local headquarters of the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They unfurled a banner reading, "Bush, let NOAA tell the truth." At issue is an allegation that NOAA denies scientific evidence that recent severe weather, such as powerful hurricanes, is caused by climate change.
Aging men with low testosterone are much more prone to falls, an Oregon Health and Science University study has found. The study's result, published today in the American Medical Association journal Archives of Internal Medicine, strengthened the link between levels of naturally produced male hormones and the health of men 65 and older. According to the study, more than half of the men reported at least one fall, and many fell frequently. Researchers found lower testosterone levels were associated with increased risk of falling. In fact, men with the lowest testosterone levels had a 40% higher risk of falling than those with the highest testosterone levels.
With cougar populations disappearing at significant rates in the past 70 years, deer populations in result have rapidly increased, leading to severe ecological damage, loss of cottonwood trees, eroding stream banks, and declining biodiversity. This environmental degradation, all linked to the decline of a major predator, has been shown in a new study to affect a broad range of terrestrial and aquatic species, according to scientists from Oregon State University. That phenomenon, the scientists say, has been shown as vividly in Zion National Park as any other location they have ever studied. In Zion Canyon, which since the early 1900s has been a popular tourist attraction, cougars are virtually absent. The research was just published in the journal Biological Conservation, and like recent studies outlining similar ecological ripple effects following the disappearance of wolves in the American West, may cause land managers to reconsider the importance of predatory species and how ecosystems function.
A Vancouver, Washington soldier has died from injuries suffered in Iraq. The Defense Department says 53-year-old Staff Sergeant Ronald L. Paulson died October 17th in Tarmia, Iraq, from injuries caused by a roadside bomb. Paulson was assigned to an Army Reserve unit from Utica, New York, the 414th Civil Affairs Battalion. More than 55 soldiers from Washington State have died in Iraq since the war began in 2003.
The current time is 5:08. You're listening to Community Radio KBOO in Portland, Vancouver, Corvallis, and Hood River. As we ask for you to become a member of KBOO Community Radio, please make a pledge by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. Time to go to Membership Central.
Hello there. We would like you to get on the phone right away and call 503-232-8818. Or if you live outside the City of Roses, it's toll-free at 1-877-500-KBOO. As we're still behind our goal in the membership drive, we're extending the membership drive until this Friday at noon to reach our budget goal. And here with me, I have Isaac Kepler-Wolder to tell you more about it.
Hello, KBOO listeners. That's right. We're trying to wrap up this membership drive, get as many members as we can. We have a goal during this news segment of $600, so let's get those phones ringing, 503-232-8818, or again outside of Portland at 877-500-KBOO. And I want to tell you about a premium we have as a thank you gift. We just released four pairs of tickets to this Trick or Vote event, which is going on at the Crystal Ballroom October 29th. And there's a bunch of really cool local bands playing, including Pink Martini. I know they're very popular.
Uh-huh.
As well as the March 4th Marching Band, gaining a
I've
lot of popularity.
I've seen them three times.
Great band. And you can get one of those pairs of tickets. We have four pairs for a minimum pledge of $60. So if you call up right now, you could even start up an electronic funds transfer, which could transfer $5 from your bank account every month, which would be a total of $60 for the year. And then you could go to this Trick or Vote event on October 29th.
Let's put it another way. In fact, our news director, Lisa Loving, always likes to put it this way, that why not give away one day's worth of, you know, what you get at work and everything, and then contribute that to KBOO for the year or so. $60 minimum pledge, that's 16 cents a day, an equivalent of $1.12 every week. And so think about it. It's roughly, you know, it's roughly what you'd pay for like a bottle of water, you know, at your local convenience store or something. So you know, contribute what, you know, one bottle of water, you know, for 52 weeks out of the year, and you know, it comes up to $60. You know, I think it's a wonderful deal, and yes, for a $60 minimum pledge, you could get a pair of tickets to go see the bus project's Trick or Vote, and you could get that by calling 503-232-8818.
We also have tickets to the Boo Bash. This is a very popular K-Boo event in the past, coming back with a vengeance this year. So we have your Halloween plans for you right here in my hand. That's right, the Boo Bash, featuring live performances by bands and DJs. This is happening at Holocene, which is a very cool local event. If you've never been there, they have all sorts of video capabilities. And that is starting at 8 p.m. So if you call in now with a minimum $60 membership pledge, we will happily give you a pair of tickets to either that Boo Bash on Halloween night or the Trick or Vote event on October 29th. Call in. Empower yourself. Empower your community.
You know, Boo Bash is one of the two, you know, greatest opportunities year-round in which, you know, you could contribute, you know, to K-Boo. You know, it's one of the top two benefit events, you know, out of the year, with the Pickathon being the other. And so, yeah, for a bit of a pledge, you know, the Boo Bash tickets can be yours, and you can get them by calling 503-232-8818. And making your proclamation heard loud and clear, yes, I want to support the voice of community radio. Yes, I want to have that megaphone, you know, access to those, you know, who don't get it, you know, for in the likes of Clear Channel and such. Yes, I want to support grassroots community radio.
And we really encourage our members to come down to the station at Southeast 8th and Ankeny and really check out where your contributions are going. Because you can see we're really stretching your buck as far as we can, and we can always use whatever our members can offer for us in support for new equipment and to help train volunteers and empower the community. So give us a call, 503-232-8818, or outside of the Portland area, toll free at 877-500-5266. Join us now. Well, it looks like we're wrapping up here. We're going to go back to the evening news broadcast, but you can still call us at 503-232-8818.
And now, time for another edition of KBOO's homegrown environmental series, Our Backyard, produced and hosted by our good friend, Edison Carter.
Welcome to Our Backyard, locally produced reports and commentary about issues affecting food, water, and air quality in our backyard. This edition, the electronics industry, one of the largest manufacturing sectors of the global economy, is increasingly characterized by network-based models of industrial organization. Following the corporate vision of systemic outsourcing, the industry has been a key driver in the general shift from vertically integrated multinational corporations to global flagship networks that integrate dispersed supply, knowledge, and customer bases. The complexity of global production networks and their shifting supply chains is not unique to the electronics industry. Yet compared to the wave of no sweatshop activism across the garment industry, electronics manufacturing has seen comparatively few campaigns based on the principle of holding brand companies accountable for the conduct and compliance of their contractors. That's from the current online issue of Mute, an extremely interesting e-zine founded in 1994 to discuss the interrelationship of art and new technologies. In that issue, it reviews two new books, High-Tech Trash, Digital Devices, Hidden Toxics, and Human Health, and Human Health and Challenging the Chip, Labor Rights and the Environmental Justice in the Global Electronics Industry. High-Tech Trash, Digital Devices, Hidden Toxics, and Human Health by Elizabeth Grossman is the most recent attempt to turn the dreadful stories of high-tech pollution, not unheard of, but perhaps too scattered across research reports and academic anthologies to reach a general audience, into a captivating narrative. Describing the role each raw material plays in electronics manufacturing, she moves from her visit to a giant open-pit copper mine in the United States to a discussion of the international trade in coltan, a substance used in electronic components, mined in the war-torn Democratic Republic of Congo, and covers gold, zinc, and a host of other materials along the way. The chapter on high-tech manufacturing explains the chemical and water-intensive production of chips etched out of silicon wafers and details the controversies that arise between scientists and manufacturing associations when it comes to conducting life cycle analysis to measure the ecological impact of these very chips. The Human Health chapter explores the legacy of pollution in electronics manufacturing communities across the U.S. and recounts some of the uphill battles fought by workers exposed to chemicals in so-called clean rooms of semiconductor fabrication, and discusses the rise of grassroots organizations in this area of economic and environmental justice. Challenging the Chip introduces the transformation processes already taking place across this industry from the perspective of activists and researchers. In 25 chapters organized into sections on the state of the global electronics industry, on labor rights and environmental justice, and on e-waste and extended producer responsibility, the authors attempt to provide a vision of what a sustainable electronics industry can look like, linking environmental justice, the precautionary principle, and extended producer responsibility into a triad of sustainability. And improvements notwithstanding, it becomes apparent that the electronics industry has yet to live up to their electronics sustainability pledge, demanding that each generation of technological improvements in electronic products should include parallel and proportional improvements in environmental, health and safety, as well as social justice. As our electronic gadgets become faster, their eco-social footprints should also become smaller. This issue touches each of us, sometimes without our direct knowledge, and can seem almost too big to confront, but there are things we can do. For example, we can help reduce the impact of the rising wave of e-waste. Here in our backyard, there are several organizations that recycle electronic equipment. The Oregon DEQ website lists over a dozen who will gladly dispose of your e-waste responsibly and safely. Check it out and learn more about the heavy ecological cost of communications networks. And in the meantime, keep listening to KBOO News and Public Affairs and stay informed. After all, this is our backyard.
The current time is 5:17. Still to come on the KBOO Evening News, hear how a Chicago area middle school is responding to the developing crisis in Darfur. The new Human Security Report has found that fewer wars have been fought worldwide over the past 14 years. And hear which American gubernatorial candidate is playing the cleavage card this election season. You're listening to Community Radio KBOO in Portland, Vancouver, Corvallis, and Hood River.
A U.S. Marine today went public for the first time in his opposition to the war in Iraq as part of a campaign to petition Congress to bring U.S. troops home. Sergeant Liam Madam, who was against the war even before being sent to Iraq with his unit in late 2004, is one of more than 100 soldiers on active duty who have organized the petition drive through a website called Appeal for Redress. Appeal for Redress claims many active duty members are concerned about the war and support the withdrawal of U.S. troops. There are 1.4 million troops on active duty, including members of the National Guard and Reserves. The petition is being delivered to members of Congress on Martin Luther King Day.
New Jersey's Supreme Court has opened the door to gay marriage, ruling that homosexuals are entitled to the same rights as heterosexuals, but they leave it to lawmakers to legalize same-sex unions. The High Court gave lawmakers 180 days to rewrite marriage laws to either include same-sex couples or create a new system of civil unions for them. The ruling is similar to the 1999 decision in Vermont that led to civil unions there. Civil unions offer some of the benefits of marriage, but not the name. Justice Barry T. Albin says, quote, "Although we cannot find that a fundamental right to same-sex marriage exists in this state, the unequal dispensation of rights and benefits to committed same-sex partners can no longer be tolerated under our state constitution," end quote.
Colorado lawmakers are proposing a bill that could bar most state investments in Sudanese companies after U.S. officials accused the government there of genocide in Darfur. House Speaker and Denver Democrat Andrew Romanoff says the state can take action to stop further human rights abuses in Sudan with the legislation. It calls for the Public Employees Retirement Association and other government investment managers to do away with any investment that aid the Sudanese government. Companies working with the government to provide humanitarian aid would be exempted. Ethnic violence has killed at least 200,000 people and turned 2.5 million people into refugees in the region since 2003.
U.S. Senate candidate James Webb's last name has been cut off on part of the electronic ballot used by voters in three major Virginia cities, and officials say they can't fix it by Election Day. City officials said yesterday it happened because of a computer glitch that also affects, quote, other candidates with long names. Elections officials insist that although the problem creates confusion for voters, it will not cause voters to be cast incorrectly. The error shows up only on the summary page where voters are asked to review their selections before hitting the button to cast their votes. Webb's full name appears on the page where voters choose for whom to vote. Election officials attribute the mistake to an increase in the type size on the ballot. Although the larger type is easier to read, it also unintentionally shortens the longer names on the summary page of the ballot.
2 weeks before the midterm elections, at least 10 states are ripe for voting problems, as you've just heard. According to a study released yesterday by electionline.org, a nonpartisan clearinghouse that tracks electoral reforms. The report says that a mix of new voting machine technology, confusion over voting procedures, recent litigation over election rules, and close races create the possibility, if not certainty, of problems at polls nationwide. In a state-by-state canvas, the 75-page report singles out places such as Indiana and Arizona, where courts have upheld new laws requiring voters to show specific forms of identification. It cites Ohio and Pennsylvania, which have switched to electronic voting machines whose accuracy has been challenged, and it points to Colorado and Washington, which have departed from the tradition of polling sites in neighborhood precincts. The report of the Clearinghouse is the latest of several recent warnings that electoral problems persist in spite of 6 years of efforts to correct voting flaws. Judge Doug Chapin, director of electionline.org, said many of the changes in recent years have led to new problems and disputes, citing the security of electronic voting machines, paper records as backup, and whether the electronic or paper record should be considered the only official tally if a candidate demands a recount.
Ohio's new guidelines on conducting exit polls on Election Day are vague and confusing and should be rejected. This is being argued by a coalition of national news organizations in a lawsuit. The new rules were written after a judge threw out the old ones. Five of the nation's largest television networks and the Associated Press are suing to force U.S. District Judge Michael H. Watson to spell out the rules for county election boards in his own words. The lawsuit also asks that Ohio Secretary of State Ken Blackwell post the complete county election rules at polling places on November 7th. Last month, the judge had ordered the state to produce a new directive when he struck down Blackwell's 2004 order against exit polling within 100 feet of a voting place. Watson granted a temporary order suspending the 2004 order, allowing exit polling that year.
Tim Wildman, the president of the American Family Association, says conservative Christians can wield enormous power with their votes as well as their pocketbooks. Wildman says a boycott of nearly 600,000 Christians has contributed to Ford Motor Company's financial crisis, and an email campaign by 750,000 Christians helped convince NBC to cut Madonna's mock crucifixion scene from her upcoming TV special. With Election Day approaching, he says he believes conservative Christians will again recognize the moral issues at stake and vote their values. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Wildman says Ford could boost its sales overnight by suspending the ads in gay magazines that prompted the American Family Association boycott. Ford responded that its ads were meant to sell cars, quote, not endorse or promote any points of view.
The current time is 5:23. Tonight, once again, we're asking you to please consider becoming a member of KBOO Community Radio. Please call and make a pledge at 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. Back to Membership Central.
Yes, here we are aboard the membership mothership. $600 goal for this program. We've raised $195 so far. I think Noah's got some folks to thank.
Yeah, greetings and salutations on this delightful evening, all of you. We have several people we'd like to thank here. Deblock Landscaping in Milwaukee, thank you so much for your pledge. Deborah of Portland has renewed her membership. And finally, Keith, who says that Portland, who's from Portland, who trusts KBOO more than any other media. Now, I mean, that's, you know, the ultimate compliment that we get here ever so often. And you, too, can make that proclamation heard by calling 503-232-8818. And again, if you live outside the City of Roses, 1-877-500-KBOO. KBOO.
And I think there's a reason that people like Keith trust KBOO more than any other media, and that's because we're so transparent, because we are made of the people, by the people, and for the people. There's no corporate structure separating us from you. Our front door is open to members and non-members alike to come in and lend a hand. Come and volunteer. If you like the news, come and become a part of it and help decide what stories are going to be reported on any given day. And today we're asking you for your help with this membership drive. Become a member, 503-232-8818, or outside of Portland at 877-500-KBOO, or even online at KBOO.FM. Come check us out, become a member, and help us to keep these wheels of spinning.
As producer of tonight's, you know, broadcast, you know, I could confidently say myself that, you know, approximately a year and a half ago, I was tuning in for the first time, and then I heard, maybe I could, consider volunteering here, because after all, I heard that indeed, our network is made up of 450 volunteers over and such, and so I walked on down here, in my Birkenstocks, down here to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're located half a block south of Burnside. I went to that Robin Egg little blue building right behind the Juniper Hotel, and I said, hey, I want to be a news volunteer. And now look at where I am today. I'm, producer of a Wednesday evening newscast every week and such. And, you yourself could come down here and we could show for yourself, exactly what makes this a community radio station. We can give you a nice great tour of the facility. We could offer you a nice cup of coffee. We could offer you with a free bumper sticker. You can meet Mr. Sir Nomingham we have sitting over there with us. And see our nice Rosie the Riveter clock hanging right beside our thing saying, we can do it! And you can do it too by calling 503-232-8818.
Or 877-500-5266 outside of the Portland area. I remember moving to Portland 5 years ago, came out here for school, and setting my clock radio wondering what this city was all about, and stumbling upon KBOO, hearing the Grateful Dead and the bluegrass and all of the reggae and hip-hop, and finally feeling for the first time in my life like there was a radio station that actually had something to offer me and wasn't just trying to guess at what they could sell me. So for myself, I feel like it's so valuable to have this non-commercial community gathering space. This is an electronic umbrella. This broadcast that you members help to make happen is an electronic umbrella sheltering us from the corporate-owned media structure. So become a part of that. Join us. Join our mission. 503-232-8818. Call up. Get tickets to the Boo Bash for a $60 donation, or tickets to Trick or Vote. Lots of local bands. It's going to be a hoot. Call up now.
And so for a $60 minimum pledge, as Isaac just indicated, you can pick up, a pair of tickets to see the Bus Project's Trick or Vote. And, as they say, apathy is the greatest horror, of all during, the election season. So, cast off those gremlins and get on the phone right away and call 503-232-8818 and make your official proclamation heard that you stand for the voice of the community. We're going to be going back to the newscast in about 15 seconds, and so we're going to repeat the number one more time. 503-232-8818. And again, if you live outside the Portland metropolitan area, it's toll-free at 1-877-500-KBOO. And now, as promised, back to the newscast.
Thank you, Noah. Two former fighters, one Israeli, one Palestinian, are on a nationwide U.S. tour to promote a nonviolent solution to the crisis in the Middle East. They spoke yesterday at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. Melinda Tuhus reports.
The two men are members of Combatants for Peace. Palestinian Suleiman Khatib was born 5 years after the 1967 war.
I born near Ramallah, in my village, surrounded by the settlements and soldiers all the time. At that time, it was forbidden for us to have the Palestinian flag in the schools, and so we start in the schools with the other children to bring the Palestinian flag inside the school. And then we start sometimes close the schools, demonstrations, throw stones and Molotov. At the end, I joined Fatah militia and tried to kill Israeli soldiers.
Khatib was arrested at age 14 and served more than 10 years in jail. After being released from an Israeli prison, he said he gradually came in contact with both Palestinian and Israeli former fighters who saw violence as a dead end.
They came to the result at the end of the day. From both sides, there are no military solution for the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Our goal, short, frankly, and simply, to end the occupation, the Israeli occupation, with non-violence way, and to end the violence between both sides.
Israeli Yonatan Shapira fulfilled a boyhood dream of becoming a pilot in the Israeli Air Force, but found he was flying missions over occupied Palestinian territory.
And most of the people who died are civilians, children and women. And for me and for many other pilots in the Air Force, it was like a wake-up call. We understood that we cannot anymore sit silently or participate directly or non-directly in these missions.
Shapira began speaking to other pilots. In 2003, he and 27 others refused to fly missions over Palestinian territory. They wrote a refusal letter that was published in Israel.
Some called us traitors, but many others told us that it's the first time in years that they felt some kind of hope that maybe something different will happen, maybe something will change now.
This group formed the core of the Israeli fighters who helped found Combatants for Peace, along with former Palestinian fighters like Suleiman Khatib. Their organization calls for an end to the occupation and supports a two-state solution to the conflict. The tour will visit campuses in the Northeast, Midwest, and California, ending on November 3rd. For FSRN, I'm Melinda Tuhus in New Haven.
Authorities in New Mexico may have discovered classified documents taken from the Los Alamos Nuclear Weapons Laboratory during a drug bust at a trailer park. Local police found the documents while arresting a man suspected of domestic violence and dealing drugs from his mobile home. Police say the documents were discovered during a search of the man's records for evidence of his drug business. And FBI officials say the documents were traced back to a woman linked to the drug dealer. The officials won't describe the documents except to say that they appear to contain classified material and were stored on a computer file. An FBI special agent in Albuquerque confirms only that a search warrant was issued Friday night. A spokesman for the Los Alamos lab declined to comment.
A misdirected manatee that swam 700 miles up the Mississippi River will be taken back to warmer waters by truck, a wildlife biologist said today. The docile marine mammal, about 8 feet long, has been hanging around for several days near the downtown Memphis riverfront in the chilly waters of the Wolf River Harbor. Biologists feared that the manatee's health was failing because of the cool water so far north of its natural range along the southeastern coast. Manatees are an endangered species found mostly from the coast of Alabama to southern South Carolina, although they sometimes stray farther north in the summer.
New research on vegetables and aging give mothers another reason to say, "I told you so." It found that eating vegetables appears to help keep the brain young and may slow the mental decline sometimes associated with growing old. On measures of mental sharpness, older people who ate more than 2 servings of vegetables daily appeared about 5 years younger at the end of the 6-year study than those who ate few or no vegetables. The study of 2,000 Chicago-area men and women doesn't prove that vegetables reduce mental decline, but it adds to mounting evidence pointing in that direction. The finding also echoes previous research in women only. Green leafy vegetables, including spinach, kale, and collards, appear to be the most beneficial. The researcher said that may be because they contain healthy amounts of vitamin E, an antioxidant that is believed to help fight chemicals produced by the body that can damage cells.
They're just paper dolls cut from hand-drawn patterns, faces drawn in magic marker. But to kids at one U.S. middle school in Highland Park, Illinois, they signify the suffering of thousands on the other side of the world in Sudan. Elm Place School has a goal of designing 400,000 dolls, one for each person who has died in Darfur in the last 3 years. The project began last school year in Cheryl Levy's 7th grade World Cultures class at the school. Levy has been teaching a unit on the Holocaust every year, discussing contemporary humanitarian crises. In the past, her classes have learned about the killing fields in Cambodia and the campaign of ethnic cleansing in the former states of Yugoslavia. Levy's students, now in 8th grade, hope to have the dolls completed by their graduation next June and to present them to their state's U.S. Senator Barack Obama, who has spoken out against the deteriorating situation in Darfur.
The current time is 5:34, and now time for another daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Remember old what's-his-name? You know, Jack Abramoff, the disgraced super lobbyist who confessed early this year to corrupt influence peddling in Washington. When Abramoff's lobbying scandal broke, scores of Congress critters and White House officials rushed to distance themselves from their former buddy. One who became especially distant was Karl Rove. He declared that Abramoff was merely a, quote, casual acquaintance who was barely known by the Bushites. But, oops, Carl forgot that there was a paper trail between the lobbyist and the White House. Following that trail, a Republican-controlled House committee has now revealed that the casual acquaintance and his lobbying team practically had an open-door pass to the Bushites, enjoying 485 direct contacts with the White House in Bush's first 3 years, including 82 contacts with Rove. These were hardly routine or perfunctory. For example, Rove received coveted tickets to the NCAA basketball tournament from Abramoff, sitting with Jack all evening in the owner's skybox. Also, Carl had a regular table at Signatures, a posh Washington restaurant that Abramoff owned. In turn, records show that Carl and other White House officials did favors for Jack, including delivering several $1 million in federal aid to his lobbying clients. And if you want coziness, Susan Ralston, who was Abramoff's executive secretary, went through the White House's revolving door in 2001 to become Rove's top executive assistant. This month, when the committee's report revealed that Ms. Ralston was a frequent conduit between Jack and Carl, she abruptly resigned her White House position, saying it was time to, quote, pursue other opportunities. This is Jim Hightower saying, the Bushites are trying to make her the fall gal for their own sleazy ties to Abramoff. But the one who should be taking the fall is corrupt Carl himself.
This Jim Hightower commentary has been brought to you by the United Steelworkers, the union committed to winning every employee's right to choose representation free from fear of being intimidated or fired. Visit us on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
Stay tuned for The Underground at 6 following this newscast. At 7, it's Nonstop Hip Hop with DJ Audio. Tomorrow's weather will be mostly cloudy skies early and partly cloudy later in the day, high around 60 with a 10% chance of precipitation. And for all you folks living in the Columbia Gorge, expect partly cloudy conditions with a high of 61 degrees. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News, Portland, Corvallis, Vancouver, and Hood River.
The current time is 5:37. Tonight we're asking you to please become a member of KBOO Community Radio. Make a pledge by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. Back to Membership Central.
And this is your buddy Jim Hightower telling you to run like a goose going through tall grass over to your phone and call 503-232-8818. Or if you live outside the Portland metropolitan area, it's toll-free at 1-877-500-KBOO. And as Isaac will tell you in a momentarily here, the community radio is as scarce as hen's teeth out there, but nut jobs are as fertile as the Mississippi Valley.
Well, not always sure what Noah's talking about with the Hightower impressions there, but we do love getting those commentaries. And, you know, folks, we have to pay for all those things. We have to pay for the excellent stories we get from FSRN, Free Speech Radio News. We have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars a year to keep our AP Wire membership updated, and we have to pay to constantly train volunteers. Noah and I are both well-trained volunteers here, and we couldn't have done it without member help. So give us a call now, 503-232-8818, or outside of Portland, 877-500-KBOO. We have a goal during this news segment of $600, and so far, we have raised $195 of that $600. So that means we have some more work to do here, folks. Call up right now, and for a $60 donation, Noah, tell them what sort of thank you gifts they could get for a $60 pledge.
Well, for a $60 minimum pledge, in fact, you can pick up a pair of tickets to see the Bus Project Presents Trick or Vote. It'll be featuring the March 4th Marching Band, which I've seen three times already, Pink Martini, and more. And you could go to the Crystal Ballroom and see them. This coming Sunday, it appears, at 8 p.m., and those tickets can be yours for a $60 minimum pledge if you call 503-232-8818. And Isaac, if it's outside the metropolitan area?
Try dialing 877-500-KBOO. You can hear all of our happy volunteers in the back. They're happy because they're being fed right now. So thank you to Bamboo Grove, who's feeding everybody at 0515 Southwest Carolina Street. Thank you for donating food. Also, Paragon donated food today. They're at 1309 Northwest Hoyt. And Noah's Bagels fed folks in the morning. They're at 3535 Southeast Hawthorne. So you can see, Noah, that there's a whole community here of all these volunteers down here having a great time, all of these wonderful local businesses getting involved. And we want to get every last one of you listeners involved. So don't just listen, dial in and become a member. What sorts of benefits do members get beyond this wonderful radio station?
Oh, well, you know, put it into, you know, statistics alone. I mean, 86%, you know, of the funds that drive KBOO Community Radio are from pledges made by people like yourself listening out there. But the fact is only about 10% of all of our, you know, listeners out there actually do become KBOO members. And, you know, how marvelous it would be, you know, if we could get even to 12% or 15% possibly. But the fact is, you know, there are so many benefits toward becoming a KBOO member. In fact, you can get, you know, a coupon booklet, and you could get nice discounts, you know, for all kinds of local, you know, small businesses and
stuff.
Yeah,
I have a list in front of me right here. What looks like more than 100 local businesses are offering, their way of donating to KBOO is by offering you members a discount at their businesses. People like Organics to You, their first delivery is free to KBOO members. Infinity Tattoo is offering 10% discount to all members. There's an Animal Psychic offering a discount. There's Bikram's Yoga College of India. All of these really cool businesses, businesses around town.
And moreover, you could decide yourself, you know, who we would like representing the board of directors here. I mean, there are very few stations in which, you know, listeners can democratically decide who they want to represent the station themselves. We only have, you know, 10, you know, fully paid, you know, volunteers here, but we have 450, you know, volunteers who nonetheless are truly the heartbeat of the community radio station here. And, you know, what they did was just like what you're doing yourselves right now. It's like they said, I'm going to support community radio by calling 503-232-8818. I'm going to make that proclamation that I want to make sure the heartbeat of the community persists.
So we're wrapping up here for this round. Let's get those phones ringing. 503-232-8818. Become a member. Keep this news broadcast going. We're going to go back to the news now, but we want you to call one last time. 503-232-8818.
We can do it.
Fewer countries have been at war within the last 14 years, according to a new Human Security Report. The number of wars, coups d'etats, and acts of genocide has declined by 40%. Weapon sales between countries have dropped 33% during the same time, and the number of refugees has diminished by 45%. Published by Oxford University Press, the report argues that the single most compelling explanation for these changes is found in the unprecedented upsurge of international activism and peacekeeping spearheaded by the UN in the wake of the Cold War. The report has also found that instances of genocide and mass killing is down from a 10-year high in the early 1990s to one in 2004, despite the sole case being the grave Darfur conflict. The number of United Nations peacekeeping operations more than doubled from 1988 to 2005, from 7 to 17.
U.S. military officials have announced cross-border attacks by the Taliban are up 300% since Pakistan's president declared a truce with the tribal leaders in the troubled northern Waziristan region that borders Afghanistan. NATO took over the Afghan coalition in early October amid the fiercest fighting since the Taliban government was toppled 5 years ago. Although the peace deal with Islamabad specifically forbade the Pakistani tribesmen from forming a parallel government, Taliban rulers in the region have issued a strict legal code, even announcing plans to begin taxing vehicles that pass through their district. President Bush had raised no objection to the deal, saying in September, quote, "When President Musharraf looks me in the eye and says the tribal deal is intended to reject the Talibanization of the people and that there won't be a Taliban and won't be at Al-Qaeda, I believe him," end quote.
Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki lashed out at the United States today, saying his popularly elected government would not bend to U.S.-imposed benchmarks and timelines. He also criticized a U.S. and Iraqi military operation in a Shiite slum of Baghdad that left at least 5 people dead and 20 wounded. Maliki's comments came a day after the U.S. ambassador said the prime minister had agreed to timelines for accomplishing several critical goals, including developing plans to deal with militias, amend the constitution, and equitably distribute Iraq's oil revenues.
The African Union was far from adding 4,000 troops to its stretched Darfur force because of a lack of funds, its peace and security director, Jeffrey Mugumya, said yesterday. African states were willing to contribute more troops to the Union's controversial 7,000-strong force in Sudan, but said pledges of financial support were not materializing, citing the Arab League's non-payment of a pledged $50 million. The Union's troop expansion was seen by diplomats as a stopgap before a possible mission transfer to United Nations troops. Sudan is strongly opposed to a UN presence in Darfur, saying such a deployment could be a precursor to regime change. Despite Khartoum's opposition to UN entry after the AU mission's mandate ends on December 31st, the Union is struggling to rotate battalions, let alone add the planned six more at a cost of about $80 million.
Somalia's Islamic militias say they are preparing to start jihad or holy war against Ethiopian troops. Tensions between Ethiopia, which backs the weak Somali government, and the Union of Islamic Courts, which controls much of southern Somalia, have been mounting. Ethiopia denies its forces are in Somalia, but last week Ethiopia's prime minister acknowledged troops were training Somali government forces.
The World Bank is to give the southern Indian state of Andhra Pradesh $1 billion U.S. dollars in assistance. The bank says about $500 million will go toward irrigation and the rest on structural adjustments and urban reforms. The loans will be made over 3 to 4 years. Left-wing parties say the reforms will be disastrous for the agriculture sector and have threatened to stage protests.
East Timor's main airport in the capital, Dili, has been closed after violent clashes between groups of youths in which at least two people have been killed. Battles among rival gangs are common in the country, which gained full independence from Indonesia in 2002. 4 months ago, a series of protests developed into widespread violence after 600 members of the army were sacked. A recent UN report blamed much of the factional violence on the government of former Prime Minister Mari Alkatiri.
China's plans to build a dam over the Brahmaputra River and divert water into its arid provinces have been met with opposition from regional governments in India's northeast. Vinod Kajos reports.
The 1,800-mile Brahmaputra River is one of Asia's longest rivers. It originates in Tibet, then travels through China, India, and Bangladesh before emptying into the Bay of Bengal. Now China has a plan to build a dam on the river before it enters India. It wants to divert 200 billion cubic meters of water to feed the Yellow River in an attempt at easing acute water shortage in Shaanxi Hebel, Beijing and Tianjin areas. But across the border, India is worried that the huge dam could lead to a natural calamity in India. Even areas in Bangladesh could go dry if the Chinese went ahead with their plans. Agriculture forms the backbone of the economies in the lower side of the Brahmaputra River, with nearly 80% of the 27 million people eking out a living through agriculture. India has already raised its concerns of an environmental disaster with China, but there has been no official reaction yet from Beijing. For FSRN, from New Delhi, this is Vinod Jules.
Leaders of around 150,000 Arab refugees living in Niger say they will fight moves to expel them to Chad. Niger's government has ordered the Arabs, known as Mahamid, to leave the country, accusing them of destroying the country's ecosystem. Niger's interior minister, Munkela Modi, say the Mahamid, also own illegal firearms and are a serious security threat. A spokeswoman for the Mahamid claims the expulsions are politically motivated. Many of the refugees have lived in Niger for decades.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin has reaffirmed that he's not going to run for president because of the constitutional ban on three terms. Still, Putin says he'll continue to be an influence after leaving office in 2008 because he'll still have the trust of his people, something he says all politicians cherish. The Russian leader says he'll be able to exert influence on the life of the country and guarantee its development. Despite the constitutional term limit, supporters of the popular Putin have called for a referendum on amending the law to allow him to stay in power. During the lengthy broadcast, Putin also reeled off positive economic statistics, chided North Korea over nuclear weapons, and vowed that recent high-profile contract killings will be solved.
14 prisoners convicted for their role in the assassination of former Congolese President Laurent Kabila have escaped from a jail near the capital, Kinshasa. The soldiers have been sentenced to death for their role in Kabila's murder. Kabila, who is the father of the current president, was shot dead in 2001 by one of his bodyguards. Authorities say an investigation is underway to establish how the inmates escaped.
Hospital workers are holding a massive strike today throughout Buenos Aires provincial hospitals to demand a pay increase and public health care grants. Marie Chagona has more.
Delegates from the Union Association of Healthcare Professionals today met with the Buenos Aires healthcare minister to demand increases to provincial health budgets and salaries. The meeting came as healthcare workers carried out a strike in over 77 hospitals in the Buenos Aires province to press the government to hire new emergency healthcare workers and stop outsourcing jobs to non-union professionals. Public hospital workers nationwide have demanded that the government delegate funding to deteriorating healthcare facilities. Hospital workers say they will continue with a two-day-long strike next week if the government does not resolve the crisis in public health. At deadline, the two parties were still in talks. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Marie Trigona in Buenos Aires.
Human rights officials from over 65 countries are meeting in Bolivia to discuss the protection of migrants' rights. The United Nations wants to set up an international network to monitor migrants and to protect them from people traffickers. Bolivia is one of the countries most affected by migration. It is estimated that about a quarter of Bolivians live abroad.
Office workers who leave 2 million computers on in Britain every night are speeding up climate change, according to new research. One in five white-collar workers told a national survey that they left their computers on at least three times a week, wasting more than 100 million pounds of electricity every year. According to the PC Energy report, power stations generating the electricity emit 200,000 tons of carbon a year, equivalent to the exhaust fumes of 120,000 4x4 cars. Switching off would save as much pollution as from all the cars in a city the size of Liverpool. Britain, which is estimated to emit about 150 million tons of carbon each year, is currently pledging to cut carbon dioxide by 60% by 2050.
Loretta Knoll, the Libertarian Party's write-in candidate for governor of Alabama, is campaigning on her cleavage and hoping that voters will eventually shift their focus to her platform. Her campaign is offering T-shirts and marijuana stash boxes adorned with a photo of her in a blouse with a plunging neckline and the words, "More of these boobs." Below that are pictures of other candidates for governor, including Republican incumbent Bob Riley and Democratic Lieutenant Governor Lucy Baxley, and the words, "And less of these boobs." She has also entertained readers of her campaign website with information about her personal life, including a treatise on why she doesn't wear undergarments. No word yet on the possibility of Saxton banana hammocks here in Oregon's gubernatorial race.
That's the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 25th, 2006. If you have any questions or comments about what you heard this evening, please call us at 503-231-8032 and leave a message on extension 203. Or send an email to pmnews@kbu.org. That goes for news tips as well. Call us with your news tips at 503-231-8032, extension 203. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Corvallis at 100.7 FM, on Translator K264AA, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM, on Translator K220HR. You can log on to our website at kbu.fm. Our producer for tonight's newscast is Noah Eaton. Our wire editors are Jim Thompson. Tonight's audio editors are Lisa Loving and Robert Barncord. Special thanks to reporters Edison Carter. Our engineer is Brianna Loringer. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. I'm Afifa Ahmed Shafi.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow at 7, join us again for the KBOO Morning News. Let's see what else we have. At 7:30, Joanne Bowman hosts Voices from the Edge Talk Radio. In the first part of the show, she'll speak with Tom Civiletti, a proponent of Ballot Measure 46 and Ballot Measure 47. At 9 on Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's guest is David Holtzman, author of Privacy Lost. how technology is endangering your privacy. At 10, Mia Kim reports presents Radio Beyond Borders with a report on a century of Korean immigration to Oregon. At 10:30 on Art Focus, Julie's guests are Kelly, Alex, and Jonathan from Portland Art Center. And at 11, it's Democracy Now! That's all right here on KBOO, your nonprofit, volunteer-powered, and listener-sponsored community radio station. Volunteer with our broadcast by calling 503-231-8032, extension 203. And you can also, of course, as you know, phone in with your pledges. We are asking you to become a member of KBOO Community Radio, or to renew your existing membership, or just to give us money because you love us so much. Please make a pledge, please, 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 by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-KBOO. One last time now, over to Pledge Headquarters.
That's right. We're here aboard the membership mothership. Things are really heating up here. You can hear the excitement in the room, but this news segment has a goal of $600, and we have so far raised $195, leaving $405 to be raised in 5 minutes. Can we do it, Noah?
Oh, certainly we can. We can do it, all right. But you have to call 503-232-8818 if you're going to make Rosie the Riveter or our clock smile.
That's right. Call in and pledge $60. That is $5 a month, and we can set you up with an electronic funds transfer at 503-232-8818. And in return, we have all sorts of cool things to offer you. Not only do you get your membership benefits, you could get a massage for $45 at Wise Touch Healing Massage with the KBOO membership. You can get 10% off drums at African Rhythm Traders. All of these cool businesses offering discounts. And you can get tickets. What sort of tickets, Noah?
Well, for instance, you could see the Boo Bash on Tuesday, October 31st, Halloween, from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. They're going to be at the Holocene Theater, located at 1001 Southeast Morrison. And so we're going to have a live broadcast there, in fact, and you can see all kinds of great acts, from Hot Pink to the Evolutionary Jazz Band to DNP Disco and Broken Window, all kinds of great artists and such. Well, yeah, we're coming back with a vengeance after a few years in obscurity, and the Boo Bash could be yours for the taking. A pair of tickets to go see it yourself, and you can get them by calling 503-232-8818.
I love to hear those phones ringing. That's right, folks. We have just 3 minutes left. Still trying to raise that $400 so we can reach our goal for this news segment. Support non-corporate news. Support community-created, community-sponsored news. I mean, this info is coming straight off the AP Wire and written by volunteers in our little
than just AP Wire. In fact, basically, you know, community, you know, is representative of a whole bunch of individuals who play all kinds of different roles. I mean, some are more, you know, optimistic, like myself. Some are more cynical. But the fact is we are, you know, intertwined, you know, by the spirit of community and such. And, you know, I produce the Wednesday evening newscast here at KBOO, you know, every week. And I am proud to do so. And often, you know, if you follow astrology closely, Sagittarius is a sign, you know, of pursuit of knowledge and optimism. And basically, I like to go by the nickname the Sagittarizer whenever I produce the news, because I kind of, you know, not only see what's wrong with the picture, but I also see what's right with the picture, because progress is two ways, and really, you know, you don't understand progress unless you see it from both perspectives. And so you can keep this conduit alive by calling 503-232-8818.
Or outside of Portland, 877-500-KBOO. I mean, Noah, you're totally right. There are all sorts of different viewpoints here. I myself am not so into astrology. What I'm into is non-corporate, non-commercial space. I mean, when I step out of my house, the first thing I see is a huge billboard. If you turn on a radio on random, on scan, you're going to mostly hear advertisements. It comes in TV, magazines, on the sides of cars and buses. Advertising is everywhere. This is an oasis. KBOO, community-sponsored radio. Give us a call and lend your support.
That's exactly.
Whatever you can. Call us, 503-232-8818.
That's precisely right. We're as organic, you know, as community can be. I mean, we don't sell you Bowflex machines. We don't sell you, you know, sorts of aphrodisiacs that make you have your freak on for more than 4 hours and seek medical attention. We're all about the pure things that matter. We're all about the simple blessings and such. We stand for those, you know, who don't regularly have access to the megaphone of the community and want to have their voices heard. And that's why, you know, so many fellow volunteers, you know, out there, you know, they were once like you listening, you know, and trying to find a voice. And now they have musical programs. They have arts and public affairs programs. They have news programs and so forth. And you can make it possible. You can keep this alive by calling 503-232-8818. We're going to be going back to our next program, the Youth Collective, in 15 seconds. But I just want to give a quick thank you to Catherine in Portland, who has renewed her membership. Thank you so much.
And I just want to jump in one last time. Please call now. Call right now and become a member. 503-232-8818.
Dr. Nine! I'm back!
Have you secured the media outlet for the 900 Club's inaugural broadcast, Schlichtenstein?
Yes, Doctor! Monday, October 30th at 11 p.m. on KBOO during a radio theater show called The Southern Radio Project.
You diminutive divot!
Ow!
Radio theater? Community radio? Monday night at 11? You might as well be entering the Barry Manilow Marathon.
But, Doctor, if your nine wave can penetrate the cultured, independent minds of the KBOO Radio Theater audience, listeners to enter PRCOM channel stations will be easy pickings.
You're right, Schlichtenstein. This is merely phase one of Plan 9 from Uber Space. The sudden radio broadcast on Monday, October 30th at 11 p.m. will make the Exorcist look like Pippi Longstockings. A Halloween horror show written, produced, and directed by...
Dr. Nine!